Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Dr. Jim Sadler is with us, and it's always good to have you, Dr. Sadler. We're talking about traffic and about patience in traffic and how to get people to behave like civilized people in traffic, right?
And so I couldn't help but take notice of something you said on your show a few weeks back about people who are in the number one lane, which is the far left-hand lane going 55 or slower.
Right. That is a passing lane, and I was saying they should only be in that lane if you are passing people. Otherwise, move over. And there's so many people that just go slow there, and you're stuck behind them, right?
So I wanted to talk with you because I used to get very angry about that and about the way people drove, especially blocking the fast lane or who went too slow. And you see a lot of these people in the fast lane driving home tonight for many people listening. I decided to be proactive because really what I think we should do is help each other. I don't think anger in traffic, for a lot of obvious reasons, is healthy. But why not be a help? Now, there is a constant highway statute throughout the United States. And I've been familiar with this for a long time because I've shared your frustration. I wanted to bring to your attention, the attention of your listeners, that, first of all, as you say, it is against the law to go slower, to be in the number one lane just cruising. You have to pass and then get out.
That's right. That is a passing lane. I know a lot of people see people cruising in that lane, but generally, if you do, they're going pretty fast. They're not anybody that you're going to be stuck behind. If you're going to be, if somebody's stuck behind you and you're in the number one lane, get out of that lane.
All right. Now, having said that, I want to bring to your attention something that I started doing back in the mid-1970s, and since then, and I grew up in Houston, Texas. When I started doing it, it grew out of Houston. A lot of people picked up on it, and that is, what I do is I will get right up behind them, right up behind that car, so that I'm traveling in the fast lane as well. Someone is blocking my way.
Right.
I will get right up on that bumper, and I turn on my high beams, the high beams of my light. Now, this does two things. It sends a very clear signal that you, the person is too slow, and would you please move over? And it effectively diverts the driver's attention from anything other than moving over to get the glare out of the rearview mirror. But I've been driving for 33 years, and it has never, ever failed me. Drivers always move over when you get right up behind them, hit the bright beams, and they will move over. Now, people appreciate this because what happened, and here's the reason why this doesn't cause rage. A lot of other things cause rage. Giving people the, but when you pull right up behind someone and throw on the high beams, that's at night.
Okay.
They realize that they're going slow, and they realize that they're being reminded to move over, and they don't get frustrated. They appreciate it, and it becomes a place where we are connecting with each other. They recognize they've had a lapse of intelligence. I did this in 1975 in Houston, and I have found that it has served me very well ever since.
All right, we're talking with Dr. Jim Sadler about driving, especially people sitting in the fast lane and not letting you by. Getting up behind somebody and hitting the high beams, that wouldn't make them angry.
I've never had anyone get angry with me, and I think it's because, first of all, I used to wrestle in high school, and I like to think it's because I rest my left arm on the window so that when you go by, you can see that I've got a fairly well-developed forearm and bicep. But more importantly, Phil, so if they see that, they know that they'll be tangling with someone who is built. But more importantly, they don't get angry, and this is really the key. They don't get angry, Phil, because they appreciate the fact that they want to be told when they're doing something. You know, people want to be told when they're doing something stupid that it could kill them or it could get another driver killed. When you remind them that they've had a lapse, you know, that they're being dumb, they're, and it's just momentary. Or experimenting, trying to get away with you know, are they trying to piss, to use your language, are they trying to piss me off? Because it's, you don't want to do that either. So I think they are appreciative.
That when you pull up behind them, hit the high beams, they're appreciative you're reminding them to move over.
I think a lot of people are, yeah. There are some people who will get angry, but I have never in 30 years ever been in the fast lane of the freeway, had someone be slower than me, that I didn't pull right up behind him, and I'm talking a couple of feet off the bumper because you don't want to do anything dangerous, and I hit the high beams, and that sends a very clear signal for them to get over that they've momentarily been stupid, and now you've reminded them.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here, talking about driving and the fast lane. And the fact that people who sit in that number one lane going 55 or even 60 or even just block traffic with their car because they think as long as they're doing the speed limit, they can sit in that number one lane, you come right up behind them and hit the high beams. Now, you were telling Janice earlier about...
Not only do I hit the high beams, Phil, but I leave the high beams on until they move over. Some people blink, and I've never thought that blinking the high beams, I leave them on at a very high beam... And if they don't move over right away, I'll turn on my fog lights along with the high beams to add some of the glare. And also, putting the fog lights on says to them, don't be stupid. Don't make the driver behind you angry. Move over. That's what the fog lights say. The high beams also say, you're now officially stupid. Move over. And I've never had anyone get angry with me. In the 30 years I've been driving.
Right, now, you were telling Janice about handicapped drivers?
That's correct.
What is it about handicapped drivers? And I like your point of view about handicapped drivers believe that because they're handicapped, they can't drive as fast or as skillfully as other drivers, and you want them to believe that they're just as good as any other driver, right?
That is right. We saw very good success, Phil, with handicapped drivers by using uprights just to remind people in the fast lane to get out of the lane. But we decided to help handicapped drivers. There's some 20 million handicapped drivers in the United States. Many of them see themselves in a very negative light when it comes to driving. I think this is wrong. I think the handicapped driver is capable of far more than he or she thinks. And when I see a handicapped mirror tag or a handicapped plate, the person is generally doing much less than the speed limit because that's what, many of the handicapped are the ones who don't, if you're pulling yourself in and out of a van with a special elevator in a wheelchair, how fast can you go? Especially if you've got blocks on the accelerator and your legs have been stunted by polio, so you've got small little legs that are useless, and so you've got to use these big blocks, and you're sitting on a telephone book, and the whole thing's embarrassing, and so you don't want to draw attention to yourself. But I tell them, yes, you can. And when I see someone who's handicapped driving too slow, we will get up behind them, and we will accelerate to try to get them to go faster. And we also use four short blasts of the horn like this, and I can get over to the car right now.
Do you use the brights?
At night, we will use the brights. We use four short blasts like this. That's number two. Number three, and number four. Those four blasts are a signal to the handicapped people, you can go faster, you can do it. Go, go, go. Be as good as any other driver that doesn't have to have these different aids. And this encourages them to speed up and to recognize that they have the ability to operate a motor vehicle as well as anyone, even if they... one of the things we like to say, you may look like a freak outside of the car, but in the car, you're just like everybody else. Now, the handicapped drive slow because they've almost lost their lives once, and that's why they're handicapped. They're scared to go the speed limit. And we say to them, don't be a coward. Don't embarrass your children. And don't piss off the people. And I say piss off, Phil.
That's okay.
But don't make the other drivers angry. Get going. Go faster, faster, faster. That's number two. And if you're handicapped and you hear these four sounds, that means to get going. Remember, outside of the car, you're a freak. Inside the car, you're just as good as anybody else.
Yeah, now that's a little rough, you're a freak.
No, I didn't mean to say that. So what I mean is you're different. Also, people in the fast lane, remember people in the fast lane, when you see someone get up behind you and hit their brights, move over before you start making people angry.
All right, Dr. Jim Sadler joins us here on the Phil Hendry Show. We're talking with him about automobile etiquette. We've been talking about people who are sitting in the fast lane and are still just sitting in that fast lane and sitting in that fast lane. They don't get out of the fast lane. He recommends that you get right up behind them and hit the brights. If they don't move, hit your fog lamps as well. That is a clear signal that you're that they're making you angry. If you're handicapped and you hear the four distinct beeps of the horn, that means to move faster. He's trying, Dr. Sadler, and I got to appreciate his work, to get drivers to be more courteous and to also get them to feel that, especially in the case of the handicapped, they belong out there. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. He's got a book, doesn't he, coming out, Janice? If I'm not mistaken. But we're going to get into how he got into this line of work, too. I want to find out, because there's something very, very personal about it all of this for Dr. Sadler. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Grand Theft Auto. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Dr. Jim Sadler with us. We're talking about traffic, especially out in the fast lane, the number one lane where you're supposed to be either passing or getting out of the lane. You can't be blocking faster traffic behind you. You say get right up behind him and hit the high beams. You also say you're honking at the handicap.
So we're not honking at the handy. We're reminding the handicapped they're as good as anybody else. They can go a lot faster. Quit thinking like... What we say is, if you think like a cripple, you are a cripple. As far as everybody else, if the high beams... the high beams remind you that you've been momentarily, not totally, you've been momentarily an idiot, and now it's time to return to being intelligent and to move over. And as I mentioned... I said that I used to be a wrestler. I've got a pretty big upper body, and when I put my left arm, I rested on the window, people can see that, you know, I'm ripped. And so this also adds to my ability to get in the move over.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Did we have a gentleman commenting on that? Is he on line two? Raleigh, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Is that me, Raleigh?
Yes, sir. Raleigh, go right ahead.
I have to object to about six of the things that your guest has already spoken, not the least of which is his suggestion about the high beams and close on the bumper is extremely dangerous.
Oh, yes.
And on top of, may I just finish?
Sure.
And on top of that, it does anger people. But what I really want to object to is calling people freaks. And suggesting that they look like freaks when they get out of the car. And I really object then, if you think like a cripple, you are a cripple. You are suggesting that handicapped people are somewhat, in some way, fashion, less than the rest of us. You even call them equal in the car. How dare you?
Well, Dr. Sadler, some of the things you said may have been misunderstood or misinterpreted. Do you have a comment?
Well, Phil, let me jump in. Raleigh, I certainly, in no way, want to intimate that the handicap or not, but it's the perception when they're wheeling around outside or struggling, limping across a crosswalk that they're not the same.
That's not my perception.
All right, but in a car, why would they want to go slow and look like a grandmother? What we do is we get right up behind them. You can hear that, sir? Did you hear that, sir? I'm sorry.
Oh, I heard that,
okay.
Yes, but that's
what
my
we do.
Perception is.
And, again, we do a lot of different things. If the high beams don't seem to remind the person to move over, I can move over one lane and, you know, you can, a plastic water pistol.
The last thing that I'd like to say, I'll be quiet. I think I've made my point. Putting your arm that is muscular on the window of your car suggests that the way we handle each other is through might, through muscle, through fighting, through violence, because if I mess with you, you've got that muscle to take care of business.
Well,
you're totally despicable.
Well, sir, despicable. I'm trying to help. What side of the bed you get up out of today? I'm trying
to
say
I was okay till I.
Well, let me ask you: if you're driving by me and you see how ripped I am, are you going to mess with me? No, of course not. What I'm saying
is, you can't be serious. I'm not going to change my behavior because you put a muscled arm on your window.
Well, why are you going slow in the number one lane? That's a passing lane only. Why do I have to get physical with you? That's a better question. I've got my wrist. Well, you can laugh if you want, but I've got a wrestling all-star badge taped to my window.
Well, I promise you.
What are you doing going slow in the number one lane?
You tape a wrestling badge?
Yes. Yes. So, Raleigh, I suggest when you hear this, because you're handicapped, aren't you? You got upset with that. When you hear that, just get out of my way and...
All right. Thank you, Raleigh, for your call. Here is Jim on the Phil Henry Show. Jim, go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Number one, I'm a professional driver of 35 years. I've never had an accident that was my fault. Well, on the road day in and day out.
That's what you say.
No, that's what I am.
Let the gentleman talk.
Well, okay.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. Number one, you have no business running up behind people. Are you aware of the federal regulations that also govern four-wheelers? No, you're not.
Well,
number one. Number two.
Is your insurance plate?
Hold on a minute. I'm speaking, sir.
Well, all right.
You're a blatant idiot. Number three, if you come up behind me flashing your light, yeah, I'm going to move over. But at the same time, I'm going to call the damn law, give them your license plate number, and then I'm going to have you arrested for harassment.
Well, wait a minute.
Also,
why would you do that? I just
also, sir, I'm going to have you arrested for.
Think of something. See, you're making it up.
No.
You're making
it up. I'm not making it up.
Well,
no, I'm not making
it up. I'd like to say simply that I'm not trying to be hostile.
Sir, excuse me. I'm talking.
I'm trying to remind you not to be dopey, not to be stupid.
No, you're not going to remind me of nothing, sir.
What, are you telling me if you look at my bicep, you're not
going to
be...
I am going to have you arrested for...
Arrested for what? Flashing my muscle?
No. Have you arrested for harassment?
Oh, Jim, once you see my forearm and bicep...
Also for attempted aggravated assault.
Well, now you've been watching too much Rock and Files.
No, I am not.
All right, hold on. Dr. Sadler, what do you mean one look at your muscle?
Well, is he really going to mess with me when he sees my upper body?
Sir, I would take you down in 2 seconds.
Well, all right, let's go this... Let's say this. I'm trying to remind you not to be stupid.
Three,
what's wrong with that?
I'm going to finish what I'm going to say.
Well,
sir.
You're not saying. You go,
Yes, I am saying.
You can't remember what you're saying.
Yes, I can.
What if I did this?
Why don't you just shut up and listen? That's
right,
not going to affect me for nothing.
We've heard the horn. Go ahead, Jim.
Number three, you do know what aggravated or attempted aggravated assault is, right?
Yeah. Do you know what a suplex is?
Do I know what?
Do you know what a suplex is?
Yeah, I know what it is.
All right.
That suplex or you or nobody else is going to scare me. Number three, you mentioned a water gun. You pull that water gun out, I'm going to put your ass in the bind.
That's the truth. I mean, a police officer will tell you.
I'm simply saying, you know what a pile driver is,
no,
right?
We got all the wrestling moves. All right. I want to jump in.
You're not going to tell me nothing.
You're the
sir.
First person, Jim, I've ever met that's gotten angry by being high-beamed. Most people are appreciative of the fact of being reminded.
No, I'm not appreciative of it because it blinds people and it could cause a fatal accident, sir.
Well, sir, all you have to do is move over.
Have you ever seen a car run up underneath the back of a tractor and trailer?
Turn the horn off, please, doctor.
Have you ever seen anybody,
right.
so-called doctor, run up underneath the back of a tractor and trailer?
On foot?
No, you
on foot I have, because...
Well, hold on for a minute, Jim. What do you mean on foot? 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jim Sadler says that when you're in the fast lane, if someone's blocking you, go up behind them and hit the high beams. This could be dangerous. It's the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
One 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Back with Dr. Jim Sadler. He's a clinical psychologist on what to do with people who won't get out of the fast lane, who are blocking your way, people who are going too slow. The high beams is one technique, doctor. You also talked about with handicapped people using the horn. Now, you write in your book about one handicapped woman who was very startled. She actually rear-ended somebody in front of her, but it gave her confidence.
Very good story, Phil, about a young lady who we found she had handicapped tags on and was out here on the Harbor Freeway, and she was going along in the slow lane very timidly. And we got right up behind her, and we gave her what we call the Ahoy Matey, or it's our salutation to the handicap, the four blasts of the horn. And she was so startled that she ran right up right against a milk truck that was behind her. She rear-ended the guy, but it gave her the confidence to know that even though her legs don't work too good, she still can be...
Doctor, just out of curiosity, you're an educated man, right?
Yes.
Where did you get your degree? I'm just curious.
I did my my undergraduate work at UCLA. I got my degree from the University of Virginia.
In
psychoanalysis and psychiatry.
Because she don't walk too good.
Well, so what are you saying?
Your language, the grammar.
Well, I'm simply saying, I worked during the day. I took a lot of night classes. I don't know whether that's what you're talking about.
I'm just curious. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. All right. So you chased a handicapped woman.
We didn't chase her. We got up behind her. Here's what happens. I spot a handicapped person, and we're driving right now. I'm with Billy Reynolds, who is from the halfway house that I consult at for a lot of the kids who have narcotics problems. Billy's driving a van right now. There's a right there. We just spotted one. Billy will give her the four blasts. Go ahead. Now she's looking around very, very... Hold on, Billy. Don't do it too quickly. Don't do it too quickly. All right, the next one. She's looking right now. She's scared, but she's starting to speed up. Now the final one. Get up behind her. Get up further behind her. Get up behind her. And now we're up behind her, and she's moving. She's doing a good... I'm looking at the speedometer right now. She's doing a good... 65 now, when we first spotted her, she was doing 40. And there she goes. And I have all the confidence in the world that a lot of these handicapped or physically messed up, keep your eye out for the cops, too. And keep them out for the caps.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Steve, go ahead.
Hi, doctor. I was just calling to tell you that I used to have the same philosophy as you do on driving and honking and flashing the high beams to get somebody out of the fast lane.
Right.
But that happened to me last year. I was riding somebody late at night, and it did piss them off. They slammed their brakes on, and I broke my neck in a car accident because of it.
Well, you didn't react fast enough. So you've got to.
I didn't react fast enough?
Right. You've got to be ready for those brake lights because there's always going to be some smartass. Who's going to hit
the brake? Well, look, it's just a touchy subject. You calling people cripples and everything because that's not a very safe procedure to be using. And, my penis doesn't even work now.
Well, I probably never work, though. So what do you,
what is that supposed to mean?
Well, he said his penis doesn't work. When did it ever...
What is that supposed to mean?
Jesus. Look, there's no greatest. Look at this. There's no greatest.
Well, you lay off the horn.
Because we're looking at another one with the bump. See, she's got the handicap tag. Go, 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 go. I got Billy with me. Go, go. Get up behind her. Get up behind her. Get up behind her. That's it. Up closer, closer, closer. Just about touching bumpers now, Phil. Closer, closer. Now she sees us. Now watch this. Now she's moving. Now that got her moving. See? People don't know what they're capable of. Closer, closer, closer. Get up closer. People don't know what they're capable of. Closer. Go. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Closer. Get up closer. All right. She doesn't know what she's capable of. Look at the confidence that woman has now that we have used the technique in trying to give her the confidence that she needs.
And you know what? When that man talks about his handicap, don't throw out the jokes.
I'm not...
Well, he says his penis didn't work. You said, when did it ever?
Well, I just...
David, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, hi. I like to I'm a professional driver, and I have a couple comments for this gentleman here, and I'm using that term very loosely. I have been driving out here on this highway, and I have seen people such as yourself high beaming and honking at people in the slow lane. And I'll tell you what, I have come close. I've had so many people cut me off, and you don't know what kind of scary feeling it is to have an 80,000-pound vehicle going 62 miles an hour, look down, see an idiot like you scare somebody with a child in the car and run off in front of me. I have nearly run over them, and you know what? I would have to live with killing a child.
No, I'm not in front of you. I'm not in front of you. I'm behind somebody else. I don't get in front of you.
No, you're smart enough not to get in front of me.
Why would I? Because I'm talking about their being in front of me in the fast lane.
Exactly.
And I'm trying to get them. What are you talking about? And
I'm
get behind one of these cripples.
Crashing somebody and scaring them, and them not even paying attention to where they're going and cutting over in the other lane to get out of your way.
Look at you taking it personally. It's got nothing to do with you.
It has something to do with me as a driver on this road, as a big truck driver who does not have the ability to stop as fast as you in a small car, regardless of what kind of reaction time I have.
It's got nothing to do.
A child in a vehicle nearly get run over by a truck because you are too damn stupid to pull around them or wait for them to clear that car. You have to honk your horn and cause them to get startled and pull over in front of a truck because they're scared that you're going to rear end them.
Well, don't you have brakes on that thing?
Have you ever tried to stop an 80,000-pound vehicle?
Look, as a matter of fact, yes, I have. Yes, I have.
You have?
Yeah.
You cannot stop it.
I was not successful. You're right. I was not successful.
Okay, then. So what makes you think that if you're up behind somebody with a child in that car, they pull over to fix a big
truck? What's the child got to do with it? Is the child driving?
The child is a passenger in that vehicle.
Oh.
Don't be a smart ass. You know what he's talking about. There's a child in the car.
He keeps saying
Could you live with yourself as a doctor or a human being? If you did that to a handicapped person or a regular person, they pulled over and you saw them get cremated by a truck and nobody survived that vehicle, could you then go about writing your book about how that had created confidence in that driver up until the point that semi hit them?
Well, I would say this to what the gentleman's saying. If you're already physically, all handicapped up and you get hit by a truck, how much worse can it get?
Dead is pretty damn bad.
Well, dead's bad, yes. Dead's bad. But I would say that person went to their grave, and when you say cremated, they went to their, they were burned up. Being courageous, yes. And that reminds me of the joke of someone died in the explosion of a gasoline tanker on the 101 over here. I said, I bet that really burned him up. And I get a lot of laughs.
Okay, look, doctor.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but number one, you are an insult to your profession. You're an insult to the human race. And whoever gave you that degree ought to have their license pulled for giving you a damn doctorate.
Well, sir, I'm glad that you at least will give the book a read. I appreciate it.
No, I will not buy your book. In fact, I will tell everybody I know not to buy your book, and I will start boycotting the bookstores that have your book.
All right, well, while you're yelling at me, I'm helping out a handicapped woman. Look at this. Go, go, go. Get up behind her. Look at that.
Well, do you remember how well you're helping around when she gets hit by somebody or hit somebody else?
Just keep leaning on the horn until she moves.
All right, thanks a lot, David.
Just keep leaning on the horn until she moves.
What are you doing?
She's not moving, and I want Eddie to lean on the horn until she moves. Get over! See, she won't get over. Get over, you stupid! You bitch! See? And there she goes. She's starting. No, she didn't. She thinks she's... Where does she get her balls? I'm just going to keep leaning on the horn until... I'm leaning on the horn until she gets moved over. There, she finally moved over.
That's insanity what you just did to that woman.
Well, she moved over, and not only that, she got up to about, what was the register? She got up to 65 miles an hour.
All right, let me go over to Marty. Marty, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Marty.
Hey, doctor. I wish the hell you were driving behind me and give me your horn like that. Oh, I pick up steam.
That sounds interesting.
I'd have you on my back bumper, and I would jam my brakes and have you rear end me. I don't know where you got your license or how long you've been driving.
What are you doing in the fast lane not moving over? You're supposed to move over for faster traffic.
How fast do you want to drive?
Marty, you are not allowed to use that lane as a cruising lane. That's a passing lane only. So you must get over for faster traffic.
Fine, but if I'm driving 75 miles an hour.
Where are you? What, are you a cop? You're going to start regulating the speed on the freeway? Where are you from?
From Florida.
Nah, where are you from originally?
Canada.
Yeah, just as I thought. You clowns wouldn't know a car from an ox cart from a...
Okay.
Hey, idiot, I could drive circles. I could drive circles around you backwards.
All right, hey, Marty,
Marty, see the size of my arms.
Marty, stay on the line.
You'll also move over.
Marty,
I don't have to antagonize anybody because I'm also a wrestler.
All right, Marty, stay on the line and let me... Because Lloyd's on the line here. Lloyd, you're on with Marty and with Dr. Jim Sadler.
Yes, sir. I've been listening to this guy talking about coming up behind... And if he came up behind me, I've got a Winnebago that I'd take up to my daughter-in-law's in Portland, Oregon, twice a year. I'd hit the brakes, and I would love to look at what's left of him when they pulled him out of the car.
First of all, with a Winnebago, you shouldn't be driving 75 miles an hour.
What are you? Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Marty.
Well, I want to talk to the doctor.
I'm right here.
All right.
Go ahead.
Let me say to both of you gentlemen, if you jammed your brakes on me, I'd put you in a human torture rack. You guys would both be torches. You'd light up the night.
Oh, is that right? You know, if you were here in front of me right now...
Please, I have big arms. I'm ripped. Do you know what
Your arms don't bother anybody, because I've also got big arms. I wrestled for 14 years.
Where?
In Canada.
Oh, that's small potatoes.
Where are you from, by the way?
I come from Houston, Texas, the land.
You're a big potato.
Big-time wrestlers down in Houston. And listen, I don't want to talk about a lot of homosexuals.
Wrestling is nothing.
You know what the Boston Crab...
I did it for many years. I've got big arms.
Do you?
And that doesn't impress anybody.
Do you know...
You have to be a little bit human with common sense when you're driving a car.
What's a Boston Crab?
You don't come up behind anybody and blow their horn the way you do.
Well, wait a minute. If she is a handicapped cripple, and
then
she just
flash your lights at her,
right?
And don't drive on her. Don't drive on her ass with your high beams on.
Hey,
if you did that to me, I would jam my power brake so fast that you'd have to hit me.
I'm too quick. I'm way too quick for that.
Well, I'm a little older than you, and I've been driving for 55 years.
Right.
I have never ever had a fender bender.
I'd be more than happy to pull this piece of turd out of his flattened turd car.
Well, both of you guys talk
circles
right
around you backwards if I have to.
Do you know what a, let me ask something, do you know what a slingshot power bomb is? No, you don't. I do. I was a former wrestler.
Well, can we, wait a minute.
What does wrestling have to do with it?
Yeah, exactly.
When someone gets a look at my guns, they'll get out of the way.
You know, you are talking like a child. We are not racing, and we are not trying to impress anybody
with
the size of our arms or how fast you can drive.
The only size I care about is what I got swinging between my...
All right, can we hang up on that man, please? Because I...
Well,
the man's an idiot.
Flying corkscrew clothesline is what I'm going to lay on any lady, crippled or otherwise, that tries to keep me from my appointed rounds.
No, you have to get the police department to follow people like this and give them driving lessons or tell them how to drive.
So
but hell, you don't come up behind anybody with your high beams, blowing horns, because I don't go for that.
Look at that. See, that wouldn't get you to move over, huh?
If I have to move over, I will move over. But
well,
you do it like a gentleman.
Now, when I do
like
that,
an idiot.
When I do this
will only create an accident.
That means you have to move over. Right here. Get over. Not only would I high beam you, I'd hold my pinky finger out, and then I'd say, oh, yeah, just like the Macho Man.
All right, get out of here.
Your attitude is terrible.
Marty, thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome.
So you wrestled...
The man, I can still call him an idiot with his big arms.
Well, this is true. What was your name that you wrestled under in Canada, just out of curiosity?
Big Man Marty. This was,
I know that's bull crap because you had to think about...
Will you get out of here?
What about the palm thrust?
1-800-449-86... Big Man Marty, huh? Wait, that was my name when I wrestled. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
We'll be right back.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, Lloyd.
Yes, sir.
All right, that last caller couldn't tell whether you were me or I was you. He kept, every time I talked, he thought I was you, and every time you talked, he thought you were me.
Yeah, well, that happens.
All right, well, thanks.
Jesus.
All right, well, I just want to point that out. Phil Henry Show, by the way, the voice of Lloyd and the voice of Dr. Jim Sadler were performed by me, the callers, people who believe those to be real people. Why do I do that kind of a radio show? Well, there are a lot of reasons. I'll just give you a hint. The title of our CD coming out this year, our 2003, is The Death of Talk Radio. We're trying to hasten the death of talk radio by showing just how stupid all of us, including me, are. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up next hour, Eric Hester will be our special guest. He calls himself a child's best friend. He reminds parents that while they're having a great deal of joy and happiness with the birth of their child, it won't be long before they are going to be wishing the kid was dead. And he tries to give them the other side of the joy of the birth of a child. That's coming up on The Phil Henry Show, our number 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Now, I want to plug our website, philhenryshow.com. There's been a lot of stuff going on around our website, and it's been picked up by the press, and that is that we are offering these free weekends. This weekend is going to be... Is this weekend a free weekend, too? No, last weekend was a free weekend. Okay. No more free weekends. But we offered the last two weekends for free. That is, you don't have to have a subscription to our website to show you the hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of radio comedy that we've got on the website, and to also offer you the opportunity to download. That's right, download some of it. You see the big fight, the big battle that's going on with the record company, and you can't download this and download that. We don't give a crap. Just get the subscription to our website. All we care about is that $6.95 a month, baby. You give us that, and I don't care what you do, man. You can sit in your bed all day and, you know, contemplate the lint in your navel, whatever you want to do. $6.95 a month for the subscription. You can download and own The Phil Henry Show. Download and own The Phil Henry Show. All you got to do, go to www.philhenryshow.com, follow all the directions, whatever the hell they ask you to do, and then just do it. All right, coming up, Eric Hester, you're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Doug Danger joins us from the Orange County Courier. Doug Danger is an entertainment writer, although we're going to be talking with Doug this evening about things that are not really entertainment related. You're writing a first draft of a book called Tough Love and your experiences out in the world of just society. Doug, talking with people and what America needs, and you've subtitled the book Observations of a Gay Man and a Gay Journalist. Welcome to us to our show, Doug, and thanks for being on our program.
You're more than welcome, Phil. I enjoyed your interview with Ann Coulter. I think she's a just a reactionary bitch. But
all right, I just can't handle that word.
No, it's okay. What I wanted to say more than anything else, Phil, is I enjoyed the interview, and I want to also say to you that I'm enjoying writing this book because, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I've tried to put into practice what I think comes naturally to gay people, and that is that we are a courageous people. I think being a gay man and a gay journalist, I investigate places. I go places I think a lot of straight people would be afraid to go to. And that's why I wrote the book Tough Love, because it started with a chance encounter in a restaurant.
All right, you were sitting in a fast food restaurant.
I was in a fast food restaurant over in Santa Monica. And I saw something that disgusts all of us. I mean, every time we see an obviously overweight child, it's tough to look at. It's disgusting. It can put you off your food. And in this case, this was an overweight girl. So right away, I felt sorry for the child. But then I saw the mother, and she was not fat. She was not a woman of that kind of condition. She was in pretty good shape. And I thought, that poor kid with a mother like that, somebody ought to say something. So I did something that no one ever does. And I did something I don't think anybody before me has ever done. I got up, and I walked over to that table, and I said to that woman, the mother of that overweight child, I said, you need to take charge of this child's eating, because if you don't, Child Protective Services will, meaning the state of California is going to come in and take your kid.
Jesus, Doug.
I know. And
I mean, that's, you walked over and said that.
I said that. Because, Phil, this is something that, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I'm trying to get your straight listeners to understand. This takes a lot of courage, and I think as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I have that courage. I've been out of the closet now the better part of a month, and the roads I've come down since I came out of the closet are unbelievable. I wanted to...
So you went over to this woman and said, you didn't know her, she's a total stranger.
That's absolutely right. But let me tell you what happened.
What?
She said to me, thank you. I never really wanted to face it, and you had the courage to tell me. And I told her that I was gay and that I was a gay journalist and that my courage came from that. You see, Phil, no one ever does that. No one ever does just walk right up to a stranger and tell them you have to make some changes. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so what I think I can do is show people that.
Doug Danger is with us from the Orange County Courier. So your book is about these encounters.
I'll give you an example. Have you ever been in a restaurant or in a cocktail lounge and you've watched the server bring one cocktail after another to one of the guests? I was in a restaurant near our newspaper, and there was a group of businessmen, and I saw this one guy ordering one drink after the next, and I said, I walked over to him, because he looked to me like he'd had enough.
How many drinks did he have?
I guess he probably had about three. But as far as I was concerned, that was enough. So I said, excuse me.
Now, you've walked over to this man.
Yes. I said, excuse me, but I've noticed you've had more than enough to drink. I've taken the liberty to tell your server and the restaurant manager that if they serve you one more drink, I do have the right as a citizen to call 911 and report a drunk driver.
And this is a table full of businessmen.
That's right.
So what did he say?
Again, Phil, the surprising response that sometimes we don't expect. He said to me that he wasn't driving, and I looked at him and I said, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. And he looked at me and he said simply, thank you. And from that moment on, it was hot coffee.
So these people thank you for intruding into a situation?
Because people are begging for it, Phil. People are screaming for it. They're praying for someone to intervene in their lives that are out of control. The woman with the fat child, I went over to her and I said, you get control of this child's eating. Because it looks like a pig sitting there. People are taken aback by my courage, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And I said, this is a tough one, and I guess the reason why I'm on your show is I'm trying to get this through to the straight listeners.
Doug Danger with us. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. Tough love, chance encounters of a gay man and a gay journalist walking up to people. These are total strangers, right?
Total strangers.
And just going up and telling them things they need to know about their lives. About their lives.
Yeah, I'm making a difference, Phil.
Well, but you're not suggesting everybody does this.
Well, this is my problem. I'm gay. I can see these things, but I don't know if straight people can. The straight listener that you have, straight people, by definition, don't have the courage that a gay man and a gay journalist, or just gay people would have, or the gay woman and the gay journalist. I was having coffee over at Norm's, and I saw what a lot of us see. And here's something that's really interesting. A young woman who is pregnant, she was pushing a stroller with another child in it, and the husband was holding her hand, and he had a little child in a front papoose. So that's like three kids and one on the way. And I saw this, and so I paid my bill, and I followed after them, and I said, and how many of us would have this kind of courage, Phil? But I did it because as a gay man and as a gay journalist, again, these are encounters of courage. And I said to them, I said, you know what? no one's impressed with your ability to have kids, and no one's impressed with your little family unit. You both look stupid with your fat, pregnant body, and you, sir, look stupid carrying that baby. Now, no one would ever say that to them, would they? No.
Well, why would anybody want to say that?
Because that's the fact of most of these yuppie families. They have these children to be impressive to other people. They have these children so that they somehow feel worthy. And I told the two of them that they looked ridiculous with their papoose and their stroller. And I said they both look stupid. I said you're both very unimpressive. And your children look stupid, too. And I said these things because the truth needs to be said. And you know what they said? They turned and they looked at me, and the man said, "We had no idea. Thank you for showing us how utterly stupid we look."
Doug, these people thank you, right?
In our book, yeah.
Did you ever have anybody say, "Butt out"?
Very rare, Phil. Not even worth mentioning. I mean, 99% of the people welcome this kind of input. When you can walk up to someone, a total stranger, that is doing something that you believe is wrong. Most of your listeners haven't walked the hard road I have since I came out as a gay man, as a gay journalist, but that's why they keep their mouth shut. And there's a saying, never again, and that's how I feel, never again will I be silent when I see some stupid-looking human like my mother's best friend, Ruth Daly. She's 75 years old. She came into the house the other day with collagen-injected lips. She'd had a breast enhancement. She said to my mother, "How do I look?" And before my mother could answer, I said what needed to be said, and I said, "Ruth, you look pathetic. You're 76. You're going to die soon. So what are you thinking? Those fake breasts are going to attract a man to have sex with a pruned-up hag? It's tough love, Phil." And she stopped, and I could see her face fall, and she said she didn't know how stupid she looked, and I told her, "Believe me, you look ridiculous," and she thanked me. She thanked me for that. So if we all could have that kind of courage to tell people what's up, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, as a gay person, I've developed a lot of that courage.
Well, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Our guest is Doug Danger, who's written the book Tough Love, Observations of a Gay Man and a Gay Journalist, walking up to people and telling them what you say needs to be said.
These are what I call observational truths. You can do it in a long, extended conversation, or you could do it just walking up to someone and saying to them, "You know, your suit looks bad, your tie looks ridiculous, you know, anything." You could do that. Or you can walk into a restaurant and say to a woman, "Don't talk to your child that way." I have intervened, I don't know, probably 10, 15 times, but I've heard women talking to their children in ways that I don't think they should, and I'll say to them, it's one small step for me to go to the phone and call California Child Protective Services. So watch how you talk to that kid. And that's tough love. And that's what I'm good at. I'm a gay man. You know I'm gay, right? You know.
Yes, I do.
All right. But that's the tough love I'm talking about.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger. The one that I think, if somebody says to me, "You look stupid and your kids look stupid, and nobody's impressed with your family unit," how that man turned around and said to him, "Thank you," is beyond me. 1-800-449-8686. There are other stories in the book, by the way. One story in which he told a family of four, he told the couple, "Please don't have any more kids." And they thanked him for it because people are asking, they are really in need of guidance. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, pure exhibitionism. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm looking at page. Doug Danger is with me, the author of a book called Tough Love, Observations of a Gay Man and a Gay Journalist. Chapter 6, you walked up to someone I believe this was at a ball game?
I don't know which one you were up.
The lady who was pregnant?
Yeah, Phil, that was at a Los Angeles Kings hockey game.
All right, you walked up to the woman who was pregnant, and it was right after there'd been a news story on the abuse of children. And you said to her that you were a gay man and a gay journalist and that she should abort the child she's carrying.
That is correct, yeah. And I'll tell you something.
Why would anybody want to talk to you after that?
You know why, Phil? Because people, I tell them, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And so they stop. They want to hear what I've got to say. And I said, you ought to abort what you're carrying. And I said, and I'll tell you why. Because the abuse of children is on the rise. And you know as well as I do that there is a 5 in 10 chance that that baby you think you love, within 2 to 3 years, you'll be beating with a coat hanger. You'll be sticking its hand in scalding water, all kinds of stuff. So I said, why not abort it? And she said to me, and again, Phil, it's hard to be, straight people don't have this kind of courage. So then,
what did she say?
She said to me, I understand. I understand where you're coming from. I get it. See, that's all people want. They want us to know sort of what they're thinking.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Lee, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hey, I'm not gay and I'm not a journalist, but I tell you what, I got 4 great kids. If somebody were to walk up and say something like that to me, they'd be on the floor bleeding.
Well, what's the point? I'm just being honest with you. I've never seen your family, but these people looked idiotic.
It doesn't matter. Everybody has a right. And whether or not you want to walk around and flaunt your homosexuality, fact that you're a journalist doesn't give you a right at any time to walk up and be rude and obnoxious like that.
No, I'm being honest.
My sister is a journalist in California. You know, you
okay.
run your mouth, you let me talk.
You know I'm gay, right?
You're on my nickel.
You know I'm gay.
I don't give a damn. I think you're
Waiting
sick your for
nickel.
Being
gay. You called an 800 line, sir.
You're sick for being gay.
You called an 800
line,
sir.
That's wrong to begin with. But
I appreciate
your run your mouth
but
and talk.
If I felt your children were dirty, I'd tell you. I mean, why can't you appreciate the gift I'm giving you of honesty? If
you're just a sick pig. Kids get dirty. You were dirty as a child.
Yeah,
you
but
got
you don't
dirty. Your mother had to watch
that
you.
Way.
But, I mean, geez, it seems like you act like somebody should be walking around just falling at your feet and kissing the ground because you're gay and you're a journalist.
I'm a gay man.
Guess
a gay
what?
Journalist.
People have rights. And you don't have the right to walk around and talk like that to
Absolutely.
Them.
You're right. People do have rights. But I am giving you the gift
no
of honesty.
No, there's no but about it. And there's no but about it. And you're not the person who's so special as to walk around and insult people and their children.
I'm crazy.
I mean,
I came up to you
walk
and
up and
I
tell
said,
my grandmother she was pathetic. She'd drop you to the ground, too.
I think many of these old people need to be told they look pathetic.
I don't think you've got the stones to stand up and be a man.
I have.
You want to walk around and be obnoxious and rude.
I have done that, Doug. And Lee, if I said to you, you need to shave that mullet, you'd be angry.
I don't have a mullet.
Well, you're a liar, because I know...
You can't call him a liar.
Oh, come on. You don't have a mullet.
Hey, bud, I got a crew cut. I haven't had a crew cut since I got out of the Marine Corps.
All right, Lee, let me ask a question of Doug here. Chapter 10 of your book, you walked up to a woman with a douche.
That's correct, yeah. Phil, I'm giving her the gift of honesty. You could smell her...
Oh, my God!
Well, I'm...
Man, you just need to be in a hospital somewhere. You're really a very rude, obnoxious, nasty person.
Look, I'm a gay man.
I mean,
and a gay
you want to approach a woman with a douche? You know, it sounds like you're the person that needs the flushing because you're full of it. Thank you. I've had my say.
All right, Lee. Thank you for your call.
Well, sir, you don't wear a mullet because I think that's a lie.
Well, hold on. 1-800-449-8686.
I said Home Depot is having 50% off on bidets. And they suddenly said to me, and they looked at me and said, you know what? You know what we're thinking. You know what we're thinking. I think, Phil, the beauty of the book is many of the people that I approached know, they know that I knew what they were thinking.
All right. Doug Danger, author of Tough Love, Observations of a Gay Man and a Gay Journalist, our number 1-800-449-8686. Colette, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, ma'am. Hi.
Okay. Wow. This guy is the most obnoxious creature I've ever heard of in my life. And
well,
I don't
sure.
care if you're a gay man and a gay journalist. I mean, you've said that 10 million times in the time that I've been listening
That's
to
the show. That's the title of my book.
That's great. Wonderful.
I'm
I don't
gay.
Have anything against people being gay or anything like that, but
you,
I do have...
I am
against,
gay.
Hold on for a second. Shut up and let other people talk.
You know, I didn't tell you to shut up. I don't like anybody telling me to shut up, especially a Canadian.
Wait a minute. How do you know she's from Canada?
Here's the difference. Canadians would be too polite to walk up to somebody else and say the crap that you are saying to people.
But, ma'am, I'm trying to help
you. Woman, you called a pregnant woman, fat pregnant woman. Hello? Maybe being homosexual, you have no appreciation of the beauty of pregnancy.
Oh, I do. My sister is pregnant right now, and she's lovely.
Did you call her a fat pregnant woman?
No, because she is entitled to have that baby, but some people...
Everybody's entitled to have a baby.
Ma'am, when I see a yuppie couple walking down the street with the throw-up bib on their shoulder and the woman in the jumper, you know, I think it's the height of dishonesty to lure a man with sexuality, then have a baby, and look like a fat pig in a jumper for the rest of your marriage.
Oh, my God. Are you an Adonis? Let me ask you that.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. What do you think? I work out.
I think you're a big jerk. That's what I think.
All right, look at Doug. To walk up to a woman with a box of FDS, hygiene spray, to walk up to a guy and suggest that he... And one of these things, you actually said to someone that the guy ought to lose the woman he's with. There's better-looking women in the bar you just walked out of.
What I'm saying, Phil...
Don't you understand that that just sounds like a crude slob?
No. What the two of you don't understand is this. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I have courage.
I think we've heard that enough.
I have the courage to give people the gift of honesty and to point them in the right direction.
It's not courage. It's rudeness.
Look, children want to know
it's
whether they're ugly
your nose
or not.
In where
children,
it doesn't belong.
Children want to know whether they're ugly or not. Their parents aren't going to tell them the truth.
Oh, my God.
I do.
You go up to a child and say you're ugly.
Do you think the parent's going to be honest with them and say, oh, you're really good looking? Yeah, a lot of good that does when they finally go into high school and
you know
people
what,
say
Phil?
You look like somebody put your face out with a
you
track
shoe. You know what
shoe.
I'd like to say?
Yes, ma'am.
I think that the people that are saying, he's telling us that 90% of people agree with him.
Yes, ma'am.
I think that they're just probably afraid to say anything because they think he's a psycho.
Well, you say in this chapter of your book here that you said to a kid, have you ever heard of Clearasil? And he said, thank you, because I was wondering about that and my mother lies to me.
That's right. She said, you're a handsome boy. And all he wanted to know, do I have freaking zits or not? And I said, kid, I mean, you need a can of that stuff.
All right. Thank you, Colette. 1-800-449-8686. Would you appreciate it if a stranger came up to you and told you the honest truth about you being pregnant, you being how you look, how you dress, whether you should have children or not? Dud Danger did that. He says, as a gay man and a gay journalist, he has the honesty to do that, and he's written a book about it. We'll be right back with Dud Danger on The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Foo Bar. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Doug Danger is with us from the Orange County Courier, and we're talking with him. Now, you're out in front of a movie mall, Doug, right now?
That's correct, Phil. Tri-6 is let out, and this is an example of what we've done for our book.
Now, Doug wrote the book, Tough Love, Observations of a Gay Man and a Gay Journalist. You're talking about coming up to people and honestly giving them appraisals of themselves. You mentioned going up to a woman and saying she's had too many children, another woman who shouldn't have a fat kid, a man who, you talked to a man who was overweight as well, etc., etc. So you're going to do this for us on the air?
Well, I'm looking at people coming out of the theater. Hold on. Hi. Hey, man. All right, here's a lady here. Man, that's the worst looking wig. That's the cheapest looking wig I've ever seen. What? I said that's the cheapest looking wig I've ever seen. You had chemo? She says she had chemo. That's no excuse. All right, that's an example.
Well, that sounds to me like you're making fun of people.
No, Phil. What I'm saying, I'm confronting them with their vulnerable. I'm confronting with their failures. That woman has chemotherapy. She ought to know that she's going to need something more than something off of a styrofoam-headed May company. She's got a cheap... Oh, here comes the kid there. Can I borrow your teeth to chop down a tree? Can I borrow your teeth to chop down a tree? You look in the mirror, lady? Okay, that boy, that's about a 12-year-old boy. He's got a buck teeth.
Wait a minute. How is it tough love to say...
Hold on for a minute. What? I said, can I borrow your teeth to chop down a tree? Because you got buck teeth, right? Visit a dentist. Jesus Christ.
How is that loving to say to a kid?
Because, Phil, children relate to humor that way. Children relate to humor.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I'm going to go to some phone calls. Vanessa, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello.
Yeah,
hi,
go ahead.
I'm the gay man in the gay journal. No, just kidding. That's you. I wanted to say you are hilarious because you are just trying to sell books. And anyone
you need to turn your radio down, Vanessa. Turn your radio down, Vanessa.
Okay.
Vanessa, I just want to know, you can't be that bright if you had your radio turned up.
I can't be what?
See? You didn't hear me, did you?
you're a comedian. You know, you're just trying to sell your book to anyone who's calling in and all upset.
Now, what a brain surgeon. I'm trying to sell my book. Of course I'm trying to sell my book.
Yeah,
you're
a comedian. Your book should be filed under fiction.
Is your book fiction? A revelation that I'm trying to sell a
fiction?
Book?
Are you filed under fiction?
These are events that actually I like you. I could do something to you.
I'm from San Francisco, and...
you what?
I don't think you're actually a gay person or a gay journalist. I think
because you lived in San Francisco and you had sex with a lot of gay men. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
How'd you get rid of the AIDS?
Good luck. All right. Good luck selling your book because you're probably going to do really well from this radio. Good strategy.
And by the way, I've noticed you've already had enough to drink, Vanessa. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Serve her coffee.
Okay. 1-800-449.
All right, hold on. Here's somebody right here. Ever been to euthanasia? Ever been to euthanasia?
Who is that, Doug?
It's an elderly couple. Hold on. Have you ever visited euthanasia? Oh, they've got a special on it. Yeah.
Doug.
Yes, Phil.
What does that mean, telling an old couple, have you ever been to euthanasia? I mean, you're mocking their age and telling them to euthanize themselves.
Phil, again, by responding with humor, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I know what I'm doing, all right? Now, hold on for a minute. What happened to your face? What happened to your face? What happened to my face? My face is fine. You look in the mirror. What happened to your face? You make a freight train take a dirt road. You make a freight train. Yeah, your mother too. Piece of crap.
Are you getting into fights with people? Or are you helping them?
No, that's an example of somebody who cannot confront the reality of their lives.
You just said to somebody, say, what happened to your face?
Yeah. Excuse me, ma'am. Were you ridden hard and put away wet? Okay, she didn't hear me. But most of the people who hear me...
What are you criticizing about a woman who is ridden hard and put away wet?
Well, her skin is bad. She looks like she doesn't take care... Are you a goalie for a dart-throwing team? Because your skin looks like that. She's just come back here. Hi, what's your name? I'm Doug Danger. I'm on the radio. Were you a goalie for a dart-throwing team? She's walking away.
I would, too. It's the rudest thing I ever heard. Were you a goalie for a dart-throwing team?
Yeah.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Ryan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello?
Yes, sir, Ryan. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to tell this guy, I mean, who the hell does he think he is to actually, you know, it's not tough love to go talk to somebody and just say, you know, you should have an abortion,
right,
or, you know, go talk to movie people and try to tell them, like, all of their faults and their flaws through the eyes of this gay journalist. I mean, I'm a student of journalism myself, and one of the things about journalism is fair and balanced. You know, here's this guy just giving his own opinion about everybody. You know, that's not fair. That's not tough love. That's being a tough, you know, a tough dick.
I'm trying to tell people the most honest thing. Right, hold on. Is that a tale? You happy to see me?
How is that tough love, what you just said to that person?
Because I'm trying to say to them, this is a fault that you have, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've got the guts to say it. Just because you've got all these straight listeners who haven't got the guts to do this, Phil, doesn't mean I'm wrong. See, that's the thing you won't say.
Just because I'm straight doesn't mean that I'm going to go out and I'm just going to be abusive to people and go try to, you know, destroy their self-esteem. I mean, what's giving the benefit of the doubt? Maybe the fat kid has diabetes. Maybe the lady who is pregnant or, you know, who is really fat from her pregnancy, maybe she had complications and she can't do anything about it. And for you to jump on the bandwagon
and maybe not.
You know, this is me telling you, you know, what a jerk you are.
Maybe not. I've been out of the closet for the better part of a month. I've learned tough love, all right? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And look at this. Here she comes. Is that a basketball? Oh, you're pregnant. All right. See? You see that? And she's smiling. She's laughing.
Is that a basketball?
Yeah. She's laughing. You're not pregnant, are you? You're just fat, right? That's what I thought. See? See, a lot of these women who wear those dresses, Phil, a lot of fat women wear maternity dresses, and it disgusts the living hell out of me. It ought to disgust you, sir. It ought to disgust.
I mean, just because this lady's fat and you know what? You just need to, like, take some, like, manner lessons or something, because you're not going to get anybody to buy your book just for the shock value. I mean, you're going out and just, like, totally discriminating against these people.
Hey, Ryan,
that's not tough love. That's being a jerk.
Let me ask you a question. What is your ancestry?
My ancestry?
Yes, I'm just curious. What is it?
We're from England and from Switzerland.
Can I get some shade under that nose?
No, I don't have a big... Wait, no, I don't have
Can
a
I get
nose.
Some Sorry, shade bro. Under that nose?
Yeah.
Sorry, Doug.
Sorry, man. That's more Italian.
My ass.
That's Italians.
Okay. Is that where you're from? What?
Where am I from?
Yeah.
I'm gay.
Okay.
So
great.
What do you need to know?
Well, I mean, do your gay partners come to you and can tell you all the bad, like, all the horrible qualities about you? Or are you just like God's gift of honesty to the world?
I like to think that as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I'm the only real honest person out there.
And because all the straight journalists aren't honest?
Yes, because they're gay.
Because Bill O'Reilly isn't honest? Because Hannity and Combs, they're not honest?
They're homosexuals. I got no problem with them. What I'm talking about are the straight people who don't have the courage. Ever been to euthanasia?
Euthanasia is not a place to go to.
No,
exactly.
There's some old people.
You've been to killing small children.
Euthanasia?
Sorry.
Been to euthanasia? You know where euthanasia is? Yeah, you need it, too, you old piece of...
Oh, my God. Listen, thanks a lot, Ryan.
Yeah, he gave me the finger. Yeah, to you. Back at you.
All right, Doug, good luck.
Hey, old man, are those sideburns or a ferret resting on your cheek? Hey, old man, are those sideburns?
All right. 1-800-449-8686. The book is called Tough Love, Doug Danger, Gay Man and a Gay Journalist. It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Grand Theft Auto. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686. Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I would just like to know, first of all, I would like to have him define a typical housewife. Also, would he have done the same thing if this had been a 6-foot man, 250 pounds? I think he gets some perverse enjoyment out of seeing women do this. And obviously, the man should have, 23 years ago, thought about a career change, because he needs anger management.
I love the grocery business. I've been in it for 23 years. I took management at the University of Southern California, and I love everything about food and food service, but I can't stand it any longer with this 13 items or more thing.
Then get out of the business.
Well, I got
Go
a better
find
idea.
Some other kind of career.
You answer
Why
your
did
other
you
question?
Spend 23 years in something that has allowed you to get this angry?
Because I didn't go into the grocery business to monitor 13 items or less.
Just remove the lane, the 13 items or less lane. It's your store.
And
you're the owner.
Well,
it's not like it's a chain store.
There's some guy who comes running in at 10 o'clock at night and wants a pack of condoms, and I've taken away the express lane.
Oh, so the guy wants the condoms, and that's okay. But if the women are buying groceries in a 13-item less or
no, but generally
lane,
what I'm
then
saying
that's
is,
wrong. Well, I think you really have a problem with
what,
women. And
I'm
are you married?
With women? What do you mean? I'm a
are you married?
With, I'm divorced.
Oh, okay. All right. It would be
oh,
nice to hear your ex-wife's perspective on how you treated her, because I have a feeling that you treated her just like you wanted to treat these women here.
Well, I can tell you,
you have a far greater problem.
I'm
here.
In a jail cell today because I tried to help two.
No, you didn't try to help
out.
Two women.
Yes, I did. They were bellyaching.
No, you didn't. You didn't try to help two women. How did you help two women? You pulled one out of the store and you said you pulled her. You know, there is nothing.
Well, he said that two women complained.
Nothing nice about this at all.
Let me say, are you saying, Robert, two women complained to you about?
Yes, that is right. Two two women said there's a woman over there, and I went over and took care of the problem. And I said to them, you want me to deal with this? I'm going to deal with it. So I'm trying to help them out, and look where I am. I'm sitting.
Well,
I'm sitting
not patronize your store. I would not be one of your patrons. And if women out there in California had any, you know, they should be out there picketing in
front
of
your store. You had another question. What's your definition, Mr. Green, of a typical housewife?
All right, so you want to put me on the spot, is that it?
Yes, we'd like to know.
Well, she's... you know what she is. She's coming in with her workout clothes on. She's got one in the stroller and another one in a baggie in front of her or whatever. She's got the throw-up bib on the shoulder, and she wants me to get this and get that and do this and do that. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, she's got some pack mule doing all of... I don't know.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Do you actually think that when you insult these children, that they're taking away from you the deeper meaning that you think these children are going to get from this insult?
Yes. And that's based on 35 years of education now.
Really? And are you there for the after effects of those insults after those children leave your classroom?
Well, they laugh. Well, you know something? Children are very resilient. I heard it said on this program yesterday, Mr. Henry, by one of your guests or callers, that children are like a rubber ball. They bounce back. They are flexible emotionally and physically.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever taken a psychology class?
Of course I have.
You know what? I'm a child that was spanked.
It was a mail order class, but I worked at night, and I took my classes during the day.
That type of language totally affects a child. Like, when you told that child, I'm going to sell you to a white man, do you think that he sat down and said, oh, I'm disrespecting my freedom? No!
I think I saw him reflect on that. He went over and sat on a bench by himself and
He sat down and reflected how he should be scared of white people is what he did.
Well, that's the thing that we're worried about. Now, all of a sudden, I'm going to sell you to a white man.
He knows white people are a lot of fun. Listen, we have white teachers. We have white students, and he knows that white people are a lot of fun to look at because they think they're smarter than they are. And we have, you know, are you black?
No, ma'am, I'm actually Hispanic.
All right, you know how we get together as minorities, and we laugh at the white man because he thinks he's better than he is. Hello?
Yes, I'm sorry, it went blank for a second. I didn't hear you.
You went blank?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
You got to get a call there?
I'm not going to pick it up. I'm listening to you guys.
You know, because I think call waiting is so rude.
Well, I'm not picking it up then.
All right.
I'm listening to you.
You know how, as minorities, we all get together and say, Whitey, he is so funny because he thinks he's smarter than he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell the children that. And the children, I said, I'm going to sell you to a white man. A little boy went over and he laughed. He laughed his ass off. And I said to him, but you know I love you.
All right, so the upshot is the boy wasn't hurt by saying, I'm going to sell you to a white man.
Well, no, because we teach our children, and no white man's smart enough to hold on to a black person these
days. So why would you say it in the first place?
Because I wanted the boy to laugh. I wanted the child to feel
okay,
better
and
about
what about
himself.
The children that you told them that their behavior, that's why their father had abandoned them because of their behavior? Do you think that's not something that's going to stick with them?
Oh, absolutely. Well, but I love you. So they know that the bad man...
What does it matter if you love them? They don't care about you. They care about their father.
Their
now they're going to be thinking for the rest of their lives how their father abandoned them because of their behavior.
True. Well, of course, and maybe he did.
Wait a minute. There's no father abandons. Father abandons because of the... relationship between...
How do you know, Mr. Henry? You know a lot of men abandon families because they cannot handle the children.
No, they abandon their families because they're weak.
They're weak men, yes, and they don't have any sense of responsibility. Look, we're getting off the subject here. I think...
Look, I said to those children in that picnic, I said, now look at you acting like some kind of urban ghetto Negro. Your daddy left, probably smoking crack and doing all that because of your behavior.
Urban ghetto Negro.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, what do you say to your kids, Denise? You probably say...
You know what? I don't have any children.
Like a hoochie mama with all that Aquanet hairspray.
I helped raise my niece.
One child
until she was about 9 years old. And when I needed to discipline her, I did spank her the way that I spanked my child. But you know what? I think I only had to hit her once. And then after that, after I spanked on the butt that one time, yeah. I did the counting game with her. And she knew that once I got to five, she was in it. By three, by the time I counted to three, my niece...
Time.
You know what?
A spank
no, goes away.
That is
just a fear that says,
away,
okay, I don't want to do this because I'm going to get in a lot of trouble if I do this.
That's right.
Saying an insult that's going to stick in a child's head that's going to last much longer is much more negative than a spank that's going to go away after they hit.
Mr. Henry, I'm going to ask you. She spanked her child, and I told the child that her mama died of cancer because of her behavior. What do you think is worse?
You serious?
Are you serious?
What is the school that you work for? Because I think your employer needs to be called.
You said that you use physical violence against the child. Now, you've
But you know what?
You have
My niece is not going
to
go away thinking that she killed her mother.
No, but she goes away with a feeling like every time she sees you, you're going to take the skin off her hide.
Excuse me. What that woman did was disgusting. Was disgusting. What that woman did was disgusting. There's a big difference between that and spanking. And if you don't understand that, I don't understand how you don't understand that what you do
is... You don't understand...
Hold on, Mr. Henry. You saw that woman flay the flesh off that child.
But that's not spanking.
I told one girl that 9/11 would never have happened if she didn't behave. And
oh, come on!
Oh, my goodness!
Come on!
No, this has to be a joke, Mr. Henry. This has to be a joke.
Is this some kind of a gag?
This woman cannot be serious.
I am saying that what we witnessed on that videotape of that woman beating that child... can never again happen to a child.
Yes, but you can insult a child to the point that you ruin their psyche?
Yeah, that you might as well have just beaten them. You might as well take a hammer and beat them than say 9/11 would never have happened had you behaved.
Well, do you know something? She never gave me another hard time in that class. Now, how do you explain that?
She probably thinks you're psycho. The child is probably so... The kid probably thinks 9/11 happened on account of her.
Well, I don't think so. No child is that stupid or joyful.
You need to go back to school.
We are a private school, and we only have the smartest kids. Now, look, miss... call waiting or whatever your name is. You hit a child, I should call the authorities on you. What do you think of that?
She spanked her child.
I don't have a child. I had a niece that I helped raise, and
well,
I did spank her. Like, I was spanked.
Right,
when I said something disrespectful to my mother, she smacked me across the mouth. I knew never to disrespect her again. But she didn't ruin my psyche.
I would have gone up to that child and I said, you know something? Do you do your homework and keep the planes in the sky? That's what I'd say.
And to her niece?
Yeah.
Well, that's her niece.
Well, it ain't her kid. She's smacking the kid around. Do your sister know you spanked?
You know what?
No.
Do your homework and keep the planes in the sky.
That's right.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
The Bill Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. On the peripheral edge of reality.
Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
Talking with Dean Wheeler. And Dean, you have parent. Tell me about Parents' Best Friend.
I'd be happy to, Phil. A Parent's Best Friend is an organization that we saw as so necessary. Clarice and I decided to start this group because parenting is in a crisis. Children, more than ever before, are in need of good parenting, but it is not readily available. And we started a Parent's Best Friend to be an adjunct arm to help people parent. And we do it in an unorthodox way. We travel between cities, anywhere from Las Vegas to Denver on any given weekend. We rent a car. We drive to suburban areas, to malls, and to amusement parks, and wherever parents and kids can be found. And, you know...
Dean, I understand you'll observe a situation from a ways off, a parent and a child interacting, and if the parent is dealing with the child in the wrong way, in your opinion, what happens?
Phil, exactly. Clarice and I and some of the other counselors will watch and see what a parent is saying. They may be standing in a toy store or a mall.
Are they aware that they're being watched?
I don't know. We don't make an effort to be seen. We will try to stay as hidden as possible, and sometimes we're very evident. And Phil, I can tell you there's always something you need to correct. In today's parents, listening to the way that they're talking to their kids, and listening to the way that they interact with their children, more than ever, there's always something you need to walk up to them and set them straight on something.
So are you walking into a conversation between a parent and a child uninvited?
Well, you can call it that, but we're very engaging, Clarice and I. We're very friendly. We'll put a hand on the shoulder.
For instance, what would you say if I'm talking to my kid, and I'm in a toy store, Toys R Us, or whatever?
Okay.
What would you say to me?
Well, last week we were in Atlanta. I saw a father talking to his teenage daughter at a Goodyear tire store, and he was apparently helping her get tires for her car, and was talking to the sales guy, and the girl was there listening, and I realized that here was another example of parenting playing out in front of my eyes that was really pathetic. I went over to him, and what I do is I'll put my hand on the shoulder, and I said to him, I asked his name. He said his name was Ron.
Now, let me interrupt you. So you just walk right up to people, and when you go up to people, you just walk right up to them, and you say, hi, I'm with Parents' Best Friend, and I just saw you saying something.
Well, I go up, and I give them our card. We are with Parents' Best Friends, and let me tell you what you're doing wrong here. And I gave them our Parents' Best Friend card, and I asked them honestly, I asked them the question, why do you so disrespect your daughter that you would treat her like an idiot and buy the tires for her car himself with her standing there like an idiot? This is how... And sometimes you have to talk straight. This is how sluts and women are made. They're mindless. They rely on men. And this is how the slut is made. Or, you know, I didn't call his daughter a slut, but I was telling him that this is what happens when a woman becomes overly reliant.
All right, now I'd like to know what these people do when you insert yourself into a family situation, and especially in a conversation where you say, you know, what you're doing right now could turn your daughter into a slut.
Well, it is charged, Phil, but I'll tell you this. Because we make sense and because it's impossible to argue with our point of view because there's so much bad parenting that we're seeing, what this man did and what others do is they listen, they thank us, and in the case of this guy, Ron, he shook our hands and he thanked us. So they learn something beneficial and not continue down a path that will only lead to the sexual abuse of that girl.
So he shook your hand, huh?
Yeah, absolutely, Phil, and thanked us.
When you said, you know, buying tires for your daughter only makes her a mindless idiot and it'll turn her into a slut.
Well, I didn't use that term, but I did say that it would make her more reliant on men. Yeah, he thanked me and
shook your hand.
Yes.
Wow. All right. Dean Wheeler with a Parent's Best Friend. The number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. And Mr. Wheeler's business, along with his wife Clarice, they're both clinical psychologists, is to watch situations in life and go up and tell people, are you setting people straight? Are you giving them advice?
Really, what we're doing, Phil, is setting them straight. Parents are out in public telling things to their children, treating their children a certain way, and it's ignorant. And if we can help one parent be less ignorant today, if we can help one set of parents be less likely to abuse their child, either sexually or in a emotional way, parents are so desperate for help in the rearing of their children that I think that they want this.
All right, now there was an incident in a... Okay, but let's talk about this incident in the Robinsons in Flint, Michigan. The mall security was called.
Well, the story was blown out of proportion. Some of the worst examples of parenting, if I could start at the beginning...
Go ahead.
Some of the worst examples of parenting that I've indicated are when mothers go shopping for clothes for their sons, and their sons are with them. You can traumatize a young man if you're the mother and you walk into a store and you're buying underwear for your son, who is a 13-year-old boy and could have classmates walking in there and could have people that he knows, and she was saying to him, should we get the briefs or the boxers? And she's speaking to her son, asking about what kind of underwear, and I looked at this boy's reaction. He looked embarrassed. And I did what the parent's best friend has been doing for 10 years. I went over to her, and I set her straight.
Well, the mall security said you said something lewd and offensive to her. Is that right?
No, Phil, I don't think the millions of children... Let me tell you something. I don't think the millions of children that we stand up for every year would think it so.
What did you say to her?
Well, you know, it's not important what I said to her. I just know I stopped something horrible.
Well, Mr. Wheeler, isn't it true you said to the woman, are you going to molest your son here or wait till you get home?
Yes, I did. I did.
Why would you say that?
Because the woman was going through underwear with her, in the middle of a department store. This woman was picking out underwear with her son. What is that about? Is she so hard up for a thrill she needs to get her kicks going through some kids? You see what I'm saying?
Isn't that a natural thing for a mother to do, to pick out...
You don't see fathers going and shopping for brassieres or panties for their daughters. And the boy was clearly upset.
All right. Well, then, so what did this woman do?
Well, she heard what I had to say, and she thanked me and shook my hand, so it all worked out. I saved that boy from the sexual molestation of his mother probably within the half hour. And
you are an unorthodox guy, Dean. I'm going to take a break here. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. You're an unorthodox guy, but to come up to parents unasked, uninvited, and start giving them parenting advice, isn't that inviting something? Isn't that?
You're going to ask me, do they get angry with me?
Yeah.
Some of them do, but not as many as you think, because once you scratch the surface of a lot of these parents who say they know what they're doing, once you sit down with them and you say, look, you can fool a lot of people, but you can't fool me. Do you really think you know what you're doing as a parent? And they'll break down and they'll tell you, no, I don't. I'm lost. And that's why we're the parents' best friend. We go to them, we give them advice.
Isn't that horrifying to go to a woman, though, and say, are you going to molest your son here or wait till you get home?
I had to give her, we had to almost shock the situation. Purchasing underwear for your pre-adolescent son is that's a red flag in the psychological profile of people.
For a mother to go buy underwear for her son?
It is a red flag.
Well, I got to tell you something. My mom was a red flag then. My mother bought underwear for me.
Where is your mother now?
Well, my mother's retired.
Do you have interaction with her now?
I see my mother on occasion, yeah.
Okay. You know, Phil, that's your business.
My mother never sexually molested me.
All right.
Okay. But all right, never mind. 1-800-4.
Well, I mean, you can believe anything you want, Phil.
No, my mother never sexually molested me, and she bought me underwear. But what you're telling me is that there is some suspect behavior by some women and by some fathers.
By parents, Phil. By parents. And I need to get in there as fast as possible. I saw a woman. She was in the checkout counter of a supermarket, and the little girl was holding up a piece of candy. And the mother said, no, you can't have it. And she took it out of the child's hand and put it back. And I thought, this is so classic of what is called the Lamone syndrome, which is an early 19th century syndrome identified by early alienists, which shows how mothers want children to starve. It is a deep need that mothers have for their children to die of starvation because they're jealous of the fact that they have youth. And I went over and I picked the candy up and I put it back in the child's hand. And I looked at the mother and I said, you're going to buy this for her, whether you like it or not. And within a couple of minutes, she understood what I was saying.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Aaron, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, I'm just...
Hi.
I'm appalled by this guy. I can't believe that he has the gall to come up to people and interject into a situation he has no idea what's going on with it. If
yes,
a man was to come up to me, put his hand on my shoulder, first of all, I'd either think he was trying to steal my purse or was going to be trying to, you know, grab me. And for him to take a candy and put it back in my child's hand when he has no idea why I had taken it out of his hand. Like,
well, Aaron, first of all, Aaron, just because a man puts his hand on your shoulder doesn't mean he wants your body, all right?
I never said that.
Well, what did you mean by take me? I don't...
That total strangers should not be physically touching other people
in supermarkets
or in that situation.
Well, what I like to say is we'd like to see a photograph of you before you start, you know, blowing your own.
Oh,
horn.
you're so intelligent,
doctor.
No, but what I'm trying to say is this: the lady was denying her child a legitimate shot at a piece of candy,
which you have no idea why that is.
What if the child's diabetic, Dr. Wheeler? What if the child
The child was not diabetic. I could tell.
No, you're interjecting into a situation that you have no idea what that was the result of.
I did a cursory stump one test, which is a visual test, and that child had all of the ECI, in other words, good color in his fingertips. He wasn't diabetic.
You did a visual.
The child was not diabetic. There was no evidence of insulin injection.
You should really go to hospitals and do that.
Well, I can diagnose. It doesn't necessarily mean I can cure. But what I'm trying to say to you, Aaron, is, are you a parent?
I'm a parent. I am a damn good parent.
Denying your child of something is not starving your child. You're the one that I've got to have, you know, I have to sit down and have a conversation with. Because the first thing I have to do, Phil, is unlearn Erin's, she believes she's great. I got to tell her how bad she is. And, you know, it takes time with a pain
in the
ass like this.
Are you a parent?
Yes, I am. But let's talk about your weight problem. The,
I have
all
a
right,
problem?
Okay, all right, thanks. 1-800-449-8686. Now, Dr. Wheeler and his wife, Clarice, go from mall to mall, and they, I guess they're talking to people about the about their bad parenting and how these individuals, these people that he sees are doing things with their kids that he just doesn't want them to do. He says there's people out there who get help from AAA when their car breaks down. Why can't we get help right out there in the open from a person giving parental advice? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Born again. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, we're talking with Dean Wheeler, parents' best friend. So you go up to parents and you tell them when they're making mistakes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Phil. I find that parents really want people to help them make the right decisions in public. Supermarkets are fantastic. You can see a parent talking to a child, telling them to put a box back or telling them not to run. And I will go up to that parent and say, excuse me, but, you know, what business is it of yours? You may ask what business it is of mine, but why are you butting into that kid's life?
And because they're the parent.
Because they are the parent, yes. But that's a separate life. And so they just, you see, a lot of parents want to give orders to a kid because it makes them feel big. And it makes them feel like big shots. And what Parents' Best Friend tries to tell parents is, if you got to make yourself feel like a big shot by pushing a kid around, then you're small potatoes.
Parents, it sounds like you're the kid's best friend.
Well, we want to be the family's best friend, Phil, really.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Dean Wheeler from Parents' Best Friend. Judy, go ahead.
Yes, I buy underwear for my son. He is 18 years old. We go shopping together. We don't discuss it. There were someone like you that has a warped mind.
Well, why do you have to buy underwear for an 18-year-old boy?
I have never called a talk show in my life.
But why do you have to?
I'm going to say what I want to say.
It's weird.
You know what? No, it's because I have a relationship with my son. I have a relationship that I've never seen him in underwear since he's 2 years old, nor have I ever seen him naked, nor would I like to see him naked. But we do have the relationship to where we can go shopping and pick out things because we are best friends, yet I do have a duty to raise him.
Right. All right, let's, Dr. Wheeler, what is wrong with that? A mother and a son shopping together, buying clothes.
Well, Phil, what if that were a father and an 18-year-old daughter and they were buying panties? Ooh, gotcha. Gotcha. You see, that's what you can't answer for me.
And you know what? Give me a chance and I'll answer it for you.
Your son is a legal adult. Do you drive him to school, too, at the age of 18? Please tell me you don't.
No, but he goes to college, and you know what?
You drive him to college?
At 16, I would drag him to school. Because that is my duty by the law to drive
absolutely
him to school.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, but the boy's 18, she just said. And she's fooling around with his underwear.
When we went to college, we went shopping, and so we bought everything together. I moved him in, and yes, we decided what, and I sent him underwear for Christmas and other occasions to make sure he had enough. Not one time did he feel awkward about it, or did I feel perverted? My husband is a pastor. I'm a pastor's wife. We are very bonded family. As far as my husband going with my daughter, who is 21, she wouldn't have a problem going anywhere and him picking out bras and panties. But I will tell you, he would be uncomfortable in that situation
right
because of people like you who
right
put a stigma on men who would bond with their daughters.
Good point, Judy. Now, Dr. Wheeler?
Well, first of all, Phil, Judy says that her son is fine until we read about him in a newspaper. And I'm trying to find a way to avert that. She says she's got a great son until we read that he has buried children somewhere, or that he's masturbating in a car. And
okay, hold on for a minute. You're talking about a lady's son, and you know nothing about him.
I know she picks his underwear out for him, and that's all I need to know.
I know that I buy deodorant and toothpaste for him also,
well, that's no deodorant
and
toothpaste.
I do know that he went on the mission field for a year when he graduated high school to give 1 year to God before he went out into the world to meet perverted people like you.
No, ma'am, I'm just saying a mother should be a boy's best friend. They should be their mother. Next thing you know, you're going to want to drink and smoke pot with him. Is that what you want to do next?
Oh, well, why not? You believe in handing candy bars to babies and letting them run in streets and not allowing a parent to control their child because they're telling them what to do and not being a
good
parent
point.
For safety precautions.
That's another good point.
Well, Phil, all I'm trying to do is keep this woman's boy from becoming a nana's boy. But that's what you want. You want him to go, mama. No, we're trying to take the mommy, the little doll voice box out of his neck and make him a man.
You know
so
why
you
he's a man?
Tummy,
you know why he's a man? Because he's a man from the inside out.
How do you
and
know?
I don't know what you
all
look
right.
like, but I can tell you from the inside, you are far from being a man.
Judy, I don't know why the hostility. If you have a crush on your son, your husband's a pastor.
I don't have any hostility. I just can't believe that someone like you, you know, I've always been warned not to go to psychiatrists because they're nuts. And I didn't really believe that,
you
but
know,
now I'm convinced that they're right.
I'll tell you this. Half of my patients are preachers. Half of them.
Are they? Well,
yeah.
Half of people that commit suicide are psychiatrists and psychologists,
have you ever
too.
French-kissed your son?
How about
yes
that?
Or no? Have you French-kissed your son, yes or no?
Will you please not ask questions?
I wouldn't ask that because
no,
I'm above him.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. A parent's best friend, he butts in and tells parents what they're doing wrong right out there in public. It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Building sandcastles in your mind. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dr. Dean Wheeler, parents' best friend. Do you do traffic stops? I mean, you know.
No, Phil. We don't do traffic. So we're not the highway patrol yet. But we have pulled. We've waved to people. That, can you pull over for a minute? We've got something to say to you.
When you see Dean, you and your wife will see examples of bad parenting, and you'll set, as you put it in your brochure, then we set them straight.
Yeah, we've asked people to, if we can talk to them for a minute, they'll pull over and I'll say, we had a situation I forget where we were, I think it was in Illinois,
in Chicago?
Yeah, we were in Chicago, and we saw a father driving a SUV, and the mother was in the back seat with the baby seat. Now, that is a red flag. Father in the front seat driving, baby in the mother in the back can be sometimes. I'm not saying it always is. I'm not even saying most of the time it is. But sometimes it can represent the beginning of real hatred between the father and the baby. Because what happens is the father and the baby begin to look at each other almost aggressively. Perhaps, of fathers and babies staring each other down. And the mother doesn't know. The mother doesn't know.
When you say a father and a baby staring each other down, what do you mean?
They're looking at each other as if to say, the woman belongs to me. And this especially happens with fathers and sons because of the Oedipal complex. And the same goes for breastfeeding while the father is present. It's not a good idea. The baby, in some instances, and we call this a postnatal anamitis, where the baby will taunt the father as he's breastfeeding from the mother, just winking and...
And the father gets angry.
Yes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me talk to Dina. Dina, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
This is mind-boggling, this whole thing.
Mind-boggling?
You make a connection of mothers buying their children underwear and molestation is the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life. That is a red flag to
me. Well, it's, I can tell you, Dina, that we've done probably 15 years of research at the University of Coughlin with both Dr. Brown and Dr. Brunard.
Well, this idea that babies would purposefully taunt their fathers while they're breastfeeding.
No.
Yes.
That's absolute garbage. Babies in no way taunt their fathers by breastfeeding from their mothers.
Well,
that
can
is
I
the
ask
most ridiculous thing I have heard
can
in
ask,
my entire life.
Can I ask you a question? First of all, you have a delightful accent. Where are you from?
I'm from South Africa.
Oh, you sound delightful. Are you a nurse?
No, I'm actually a teacher.
Well, Dina, you're hardly in any position to quantify what's been 20 years of a life's work.
No, I'll tell you what kind of position I'm in. I'm the mother of three grown boys.
The babies.
Hold on
a
second.
Well, how do you know your husband doesn't hate one of them?
My husband adores my children.
You hope.
He in no way
you
absolutely
hope.
Has anything against my children for breastfeeding from
Are you
me.
Saying that when Dina was breastfeeding her babies, that without her knowledge, these babies would taunt the father?
Yes. Say, look what I got. You don't get it. You know, it sounds childish, and
yeah,
it is childish.
Quite honestly,
look
I think you're the one that doesn't get it. I think that you have some deep-seated, perhaps you were molested as a child because you're bringing up these molestations all the time. There's something wrong about that.
No, we have photographs of babies purposely bending their heads back and raising their eyebrows at their father while they're breastfeeding, as if to say,
garbage. Because
really?
Can I tell you something else? That they would raise their eyebrows to anybody else in the room. They're merely looking at another figure in the room.
Right.
Not taunting a father.
Yeah, that's... what about that, Dean, that they're not taunting the father?
All right, well, I would believe that, but what about the stare downs? What about the eyeballing each other?
They would eyeball anybody... They would eyeball anybody that came into the room merely because they're an infant and there's another figure there.
So you're saying to me that the father is in the front seat staring at the kid through the rearview mirror and the kid's staring back?
Yeah, from
the
front
seat. You know why the mother's sitting in the back seat with the baby? For safety issues.
You know, you got an answer for everything, don't you?
Well, it seems that you have the weirdest answers.
I'll tell you what,
I've never heard such ridiculous
answers in
my life.
Rather than you giving me all the answers, I'd love to just see you lift a glass of champagne to
yourself. Can I just ask you one thing, seeing as you are a doctor and you've done all this research? If I can't go and buy my child underwear, how do I speak to my child about sex? Do you correlate that as well with molestation if I'm speaking to them about sex?
Well, I think that if you're talking to your son about sex, I think it's weird. I think it's really wrong.
No, you find that weird.
Well, a mother and what have you got to say to your son about sex? The father should tell the boy. What are you, trying to tell him how to do it right? I mean, what's that about?
How ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
How ridiculous.
Well, why would you do that?
Oh, my goodness. You are the weirdest. Bad for you.
Why do babies cry when a father picks them up? Because they're afraid the father might put them down in the crib face down.
No.
That's nonsense. That is exactly correct.
Can I tell you something? I'd be very afraid to have my children around you or any other young child around you. That would scare me to no end.
Ma'am, I have three sons of my own.
That's right. Where are your kids?
They're living with their mother.
Actually,
okay,
where are my kids? They're with me right now.
They're divorced?
Yes, we're divorced, but I see my kids every few months when I pull into town.
All right, Dina, thank you very much. Dina, thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Let's go over here to Ruth. Hello, Ruth. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I am absolutely agree with whatever the last lady says.
So is this,
I think, so, doctor,
on?
You are absolutely
Radio Cambodia
not.
Or something? This is Colonel Kurtz. Colonel Kurtz.
I have five kids by my own, and I raise my kids. And let me tell him this something. My 15-year-old son, I go with him and I buy his underwear.
Are you Dr.
And
Ruth?
I make him, and I tell him that material is good for you, that one can make you rush or whatever.
Oh,
and
oh
I
my
think
God.
That you are
that
not.
That is so perverted.
You are crazy.
That is so perverted.
When I birthed my sons, my kids, my husband was very proud.
Yeah.
I can see my
eyeballing
kids.
Him. Did I see you in Hogan's Heroes? I'm just curious.
Will you be quiet and ask if comment on what the lady had to say?
Ruth, this is Dr. Wheeler. I understand you're upset with me.
Of course. I was mother and father for my kids because my husband passed away 7 years ago. And I go, my kids anywhere, and I never think so any mother will molest your child. I understand why you are divorced.
Did your
you have problems with your mother. Maybe you was abused with from your mother.
Was your husband, did he die of alcoholism? Or?
No, my husband passed away for cancer.
For cancer or from cancer?
Yes. From cancer, not for cancer, from cancer.
All right, well, Ruth, this is all
you
we're saying.
You can be so sarcastic in any
Ruth,
way
there,
you want, but you are really wrong.
The reason why your husband died is because your baby stared him down, and he got into a stare-down with
you
the baby.
Crazy.
Okay, you're out of your mind.
I hope no people listen to you because you are not. You are a really bad person, and you had very bad influence for
can
the rest
you do
of
me
the
a
people.
Favor?
Because
right.
when the people hear
yes.
somebody like you,
yes.
if you are really a doctor,
yeah.
if you are really a doctor, I don't know where you're coming
Ruth,
from,
I am
and
a doctor.
I don't know when you have your title, a doctor.
Okay. Can, can I ask you just one question? Could you say moose and squirrel for me?
I'm sorry?
Can you just say the words moose and squirrel?
You know what? You're
he wants you to say
and
moose
you're
and
sarcastic, and doesn't matter. Whatever you're trying to be cynical
I
or sarcastic,
your husband died of
doesn't
nipple
change
neglect.
The way
yes.
you are not, and you are insane.
I think
and whatever you talk,
bicep.
It's about the sex and about the distort the reality between the mother and child and kids, and you are
all
crazy.
Right. Can you say
and you know what?
Home?
I understand
right.
why your wife gets divorced, because people like you, maybe you
right.
trying to abuse your child. If you don't abuse your child physical, mentally, bye.
Is she gone?
Yeah, the lady's finished with her comments. All right, 1-800-449-8686. What do you mean, say moose and squirrel?
Boy, it's dying.
Oh, yeah, okay, Rocky and Bullwinkle, great. All right, so that's Dr. Dean Wheeler. He's a psycho. Thank you very much, Dr. Wheeler, for your point of view on sticking your nose into the private matters of parents and telling women who are looking at underwear for their son they're child molesters. I like that eyeballing the baby in the back seat. That's this the stare down. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Won't float without pontoons.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Hey, the preceding bit, by the way, was me performing the voice there of the character Dean Wheeler, and the people calling, of course, believing that to be a real guy, they're unpaid, they're unprompted, no paid callers here, no, you know. In other words, this is talk radio. This ain't your daddy or your mammy's talk radio show. This is not even your older brother's talk radio show. In fact, your kid brother is barely hip enough to get this. Now, you can get backstage passes to our website for only $6.95, and if you ask me, that's way too cheap. We should be charging way more. But all you got to do is get that backstage pass, and it gives you an access to some fantastic audio, all of our classic archived audio, as well as our live, our 30-day archives of shows, as well as the live streaming of our show. Now, all of that stuff you can download, too. So we have circumvented, undercut, whatever you want to say, the people that are paranoid about downloading. You know, it's too bad, too, about the music business, because there are some tremendous bands performing these days. I just picked up that AFI CD. That is, without question, that's one of the best groups now. I mean, that I'm listening to right now. You ever heard this band, AFI? I mean, they're a very strange group of guys, but that is one good band, okay? Now, there's good music like that being made, but problem is, it ain't worth $15 a CD anymore. You know, it's just not. And, well, how do you know that, Phil? How do I know that? Because everybody's burning it off the internet, man. All the kids are, what is it? Oh, yeah, file sharing. So what do you care? You're going to either have to bring down the price of that stuff. What we've done is we have said, come on, have at it, come on to our website, Get the backstage pass for $6.95, and brother, you can download anything you want, man. It's fine with me. So it's $6.95 a month. You can download our archives, and you go to www.philhenryshow.com. While you're on our website, why don't you pre-order the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD. It's called The Death of Talk Radio, and all the money goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood, California. On November the 22nd, we are going to be broadcasting. It'll be a personal appearance, and I don't know where it's going to be. But when we find out, I got to find out when this is, because there's no point in promoting it 2 days out. You know what I'm saying? So what's the date today? Today's the 6th or the 7th, so I need to know by tomorrow where we're going to be having our personal appearance so I can let people know. Because believe me, if you give it a week, it ain't going to be enough. So in any event, we'll be signing the CDs, and you can come on out and say hello to us. We'd be really happy to see you because we haven't done a personal appearance in a long time. The other thing we want to promote, we're very excited about the first annual Phil Henry Show Dumbass of the Year Awards. The Phil Henry Show presenters will be at the Kodak Theater in Hollywood on December the 23rd from 4 to 7 Pacific. That is a tentative time. If it changes, we will let you know. And we will be giving out Dumbass of the Year awards in some 10 categories. Dumbass of the Year Sports Division, African American Division, Caucasian, who's the dumbest dumbass Caucasian, Politics, Movie Star, Television Star, Musician, Dumbass of the Year Male, Female, Youth, and the overall big-time Dumbass of the Year Award. The first ever Dumbass of the Year Awards will be at the Kodak Theater in Hollywood. Only industry people will be invited, and that's on December the 23rd, so mark that on your calendar and then, you know, burn your calendar. Okay? I mean, I don't know why you'd mark it on your calendar, but anyway. Some of our presenters will be Don Berman from Channel 19, Doug Danger, who is the entertainment reporter for the Orange County Courier. We're not sure about Margaret Gray because a lot of these people that will be winning Dumbass of the Year Awards. In fact, is she on the phone right now? Because I know that you were talking to her, Jens. Yeah, Margaret?
Yes, Phil.
You were just talking to Janice, right?
Yes, I was.
All right. Do you want to do the Dumbass of the Year?
No, I don't, Phil. I think it's very juvenile, and I think it's insulting to a lot of really good people. I know a lot of these people, and I know the point you're trying to make, that you're denigrating them for their celebrity.
Well, I don't think we're denigrating them for their celebrity. I mean, we're denigrating them for their stupidity.
Well, Phil, everybody says something stupid. If I'm to listen to your radio show, and you know I love you...
Oh, here we go. We're going to make it about me now, huh? Let's insult the talk show host.
No, but you say stupid things. Everyone says stupid things.
Well, in the context of them making their movies, that's fine, but they got to open their mouths elsewhere. How about if I was running around making movies saying dumb stuff?
Well, my understanding is you're working on a television show where you're going to say some stupid things, right? That's not really a movie. But still, I'm not going to ruin my celebrity contacts by your little award show. I think it's juvenile. I think it's... Excuse me. I think it's very...
Oh, yeah. Speaking of juvenile...
I'm sorry. I had a Steve's Bigger Sub.
Uh-huh.
But I'm telling you, don't do it, Phil. Don't do it. You mess with the wrong people in this town, and you are going to be sorry. I hear you got into it over there at Fox today.
Yeah, I did.
You could lose the TV shot.
I don't care. I may walk away from the TV shot. What do you think of that? Huh? Kind of you left speechless, huh?
What did you say?
I said I may walk away from the TV shot. I don't give a crap whether I do a TV show or not. You understand? Either it's going to be fun, and it's going to be right, and it's going to be without politics and games, or I'm not going to do it.
Oh, my sweet living Christ on the cross. Are you trying to...
What are you saying?
Well, what are you saying?
Saying I may walk away from the TV gig.
Do you know how many men I slept with, Phil, just so I...
Yeah, just so you can get a shot in the Big Valley. Get out of here.
You know I'm going to have lunch with Tim and Susan tomorrow, and I know how you feel about Tim Robbins. I'll have no part of your bloodbath. I think you're a real piece of walking excrement. And I...
How come she was talking fast? Does she know I'm going to hang up on her? You know, I'm grateful for every day that I'm alive. I'm grateful for every opportunity that comes my way. I'm happy. I'm a happily married guy. I got a great bunch of kids. I got great coworkers. I got great listeners. And you know what? I'm grateful that the people in the world of TV have knocked on my door almost incessantly for the past 6 years, almost constantly. Hey, Mr. Henry, you want to do a TV show? Hey, Mr. Henry, do you want to do a TV show? Hey, Mr. You know, all the freaking time. It's great. But the fact of the matter is, when I was a kid, I never dreamed of being on television. I've dreamt about being on the radio. I dreamt of either being Jack Kerouac or being on the radio. I dreamt of either being a jazz musician, being Jack Kerouac, or being on the radio. Never once did I want to be Regis Philbin. And, you know, I loved reading in Variety, Henry, whose NBC project didn't go forward, is trying it again. Like I'm running around town trying to do a TV show. I could care less. Again, it's like Phil Henry's running around town knocking on doors because he's trying to desperately to get on television. Oh, my God. I'd rather just start spontaneously bleeding from every hole and have to go in with, you know, an IV or something. Forget it. But as long as I'm going to do it, I hope it's fun. I hope it's good. I hope we can, and I hope you guys like it. Otherwise, I don't really care as long as, you know, I can cash a few checks. But anyway, we'll be right back here with Bobby Dooley on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.